Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. All right, so Brian, welcome to the first. I think I'm going to call these. I like it because the first episode I had you on with Coming to America, I think on that we figured out the title for Gut Instincts. Mm-hmm. And so we were sitting here. You're about to come on. I'm like, oh, I'd love to have a little title for this. And we, you know, short order sessions, I'm going to call it, because I was kind of once a short order cook at the deli that I've mentioned several times that I worked at. So
what exactly is a short order cook?
Shorter cook, just like someone that's really working the grill, just the stuff that, you know, like, definitely like diner kind of cook.
Gotcha.
That's a short order cook.
I definitely heard it. Well, makes sense.
Yeah. So, welcome to the short order sessions where I just want to, kind of like we do on P.S. I Still Love Hoffman, where we're, since that's just a monthly podcast, but then we were like, oh, let's do these mid-monthly check-ins. That was an idea of yours, and I really liked them, so I'm trying this out. This week, there's no video, but here's a short order session, and this is where we're just going to talk food and movies. The movies don't have to be food-related scenes or anything like that, but those are just, you know, since they're two things that really interest me, I want to talk with my friends and other people I've met so far and see if they've ate anything good or watched anything good. Mm-hmm. So what's we'll just dive into it. I've seen you posting about this drink, what is it called?
Oh, yerba mate.
Yerba mate.
I joke around like I live the yerba mate lifestyle. Because I think it just sounds funny, but yeah, I'm really into yerba mate these days.
Okay, and what is yerba mate?
So yerba mate is something that in South America, like even in the Andes, that they drink in lieu of coffee a lot.
Oh.
It's a special tea. And the tea gives you like an energy boost, you know, akin to coffee.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to show you a picture now. I don't know if you'll post on social media or whatever.
Sure.
Like, the yerba mate is served in these interesting spoons with these interesting, like, glasses.
Oh. I was saying recently, I love things that serve specific purposes, especially when it comes to, like, dishware and drink, you know.
Yeah, this
like
is
items.
Like a yerba mate in the Andes. I don't drink it
like
that.
Yeah, text me that and I'll post it for this. Yeah.
It could be. It might not be in the Andes because I know it's from the rainforest, so it's in South America. It's okay. A South American thing. I first got in contact with it. My father owned supermarkets. He owned one in Newark, and there was a big South American community there, and we used to sell it, and we used to sell the cups, and this is like a spoon thing. It's not a spoon. It's a straw,
but it has
holes at the bottom, so it looks like almost like a spoon that, like, well, you're not getting the tea leaves, but you're drinking the tea.
Cool.
And a guy you know because you randomly like this movie, or you're familiar with, I should say, but the former WWE superstar Adam Copeland, aka Edge, he's an actor on Vikings, but you liked him in this film. What's it called? Bending the Rules or something like that?
Yeah,
with Jamie Kennedy. A C-level movie, kind of, but I haven't even really seen it. It's been on TV a couple of times, but it's a WWE produced picture.
It takes place in New Orleans, and the Edge is wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I'm sold. So,
but he has a podcast with his former tag team partner Christian, and it's a great podcast.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite wrestling podcasts, and it's super funny. But he always talks about, you know, drinking yerba mate. He doesn't like really get into it, but he's like, oh, I got my yerba mate, I'm ready to go.
Do they make a yerba mate latte?
I don't think so. I don't know, so he lives in Asheville.
Ah, hey.
And the first time I went to Asheville, Asheville's very, if you guys haven't been, a lot of breweries, but it's very...
they have a ridiculous amount of breweries.
Yes, and it's very like Portland-esque it's like a hipster city.
Yeah.
I laugh because when I went there, it's very like it's in the Appalachian Mountains, beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
And they have accents there. It's not very touristy yet. But they're very liberal. They're like hippies.
The cliche of hearing the southern accent and being conservative is broken.
It was so weird because we were out and it was like, man, fuck Trump.
Yeah.
I hate that guy. I can't believe what he's doing. And I'm probably like doing a disservice to the accent
Bernie
right now.
Bernie was screwed over.
But they're super liberal. They're super hippies. And It's just a great place. I suggest visiting it. But anyway, we went to this cafe, and I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't hate it, but it's not part of my regular routine like most people.
I'm
at this coffee shop, and I see they have yerba mate, and I'm like, wouldn't it be great if I got this here? Because, like, Edge lives here, and he drinks it, whatever. Like a fleeting thing. And I got it there, and it was so...
And then the barista was the Edge.
Yes, I wish. No, it was really, really good, and I kind of forgot about it for a little bit. Then, you know... Because of podcasting, I had to pull like an all-nighter because, you know, we have deadlines.
Deadlines,
for you guys.
Yeah.
And I was at like a Duane Reade or something, and I'm like, oh, you know, I never had like the yerba mate in a can. I got it, and that day, because I don't drink coffee, I felt I felt like heavy anxiety.
Oh.
I thought it was, I'm like, oh my God, I shouldn't drink this. But I kind of like the taste, you know? And of course I went back. My body's more used to it now. So I drink it in the morning every day. I don't make the own tea. I just buy the cold ones. It's the summer anyway.
Now I have a full-on addiction.
Guayaki is the best brand. And they're actually, you'll see them at Whole Foods, but also in bodegas. And they're actually like 100% sustainable, supposedly. Like they're from the rainforest of, I think, Paraguay.
Oh.
But they give like all the money back to the people there.
Wow.
It's a really great company.
It is, yeah.
Shout
that's
out
awesome.
Guayaki. So I've been posting like, yerba mate lifestyle. But the one thing I did not realize about it, and I was very confused, and this is very food related as well, I was like, for a couple days, I'm like, oh man, I feel so fat. I need to go on a diet. Like, I just feel full all the time.
What does it have? Like a...
And it's a natural appetite suppressant, and I didn't realize that. And you know me, Kyle. I'm a snacker.
Yes.
If there's snacks, I'm eating it. Especially in this season, the barbecue season, where people put out plates of cheese doodles for no reason. You know? So it's really actually like helped jumpstart a diet for me because I'm snacking less in a natural way. It's not like a pill or anything. It's just, it makes you feel full.
Sure, yeah.
Which is, it's great. So, you know, I've been like getting in shape. I've been running. And I feel like this yerba mate lifestyle has really like kickstarted things.
I like it.
I suggest you try it. And there's like all these flavors. Now they have them, even like you can get like sparkling ones. It's like almost like drinking a Red Bull, but it doesn't taste like Red Bull.
Okay.
You know, because it's barbecue season, though, it's, as you know, I know from your Weight Watchers thing, this is a tough time to start the diet.
It is. You have to be smart about that. Yeah, over Memorial Day weekend, over and then when 4th of July, like, I'll give myself some liberties, as our forefathers did. But, you know.
Yeah.
It's so tough.
It is tough. It reminded me, though. The other day, I was with some mutual friends of ours, and I remembered a classic Kyle barbecue story. I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, but we were out on Long Island.
Oh, God.
Friends of ours at the beach house. Well, I'll tell the story, and then I'll say what I feel about it. But for some reason, these friends, particularly the people who own the house, are not meat eaters.
No.
But for whatever reason, they bought these very expensive steaks.
Did they buy or were they given to them?
I believe they bought them.
Oh, okay.
Or somebody bought them who was there.
Yeah.
These very expensive steaks. Like, I don't know how much they were, but like...
Very expensive, yeah.
And they were, you know, probably pretty drunk. And they were like, oh, can someone cook these? And I think it was me. Like, hey, Kyle, why don't you get on the grill and cook these?
I also was feeling pretty well myself. There were influences around.
So you said sure, but you were a little reluctant even at that
very
point. You're
reluctant.
Like, I'm not sure how to cook these. I'm like, it should be easy. Let's look it up, you know? I think we looked it up.
Yeah.
And these are charcoal grills. And I think you're a gas man.
Yes.
We discussed this on this show, or maybe it was on a Hoffman, that, like, I think it was you who quoted King of the Hill.
Yeah.
We're a propane family, Bobby.
Bobby. Huh?
But isn't it funny, though, that, like, you rarely see both? That I'm a gas family and a charcoal family? Like, it's usually one or the other. I like the charcoal taste, but it is hard to cook on charcoal.
And it was just like, I don't remember all the exact things that went into it, like if we had just put the charcoal on. But there's just a big difference between cooking, like, they were, like, thick. I think they were really thick New York strips. I don't remember there being...
Yeah, they were thick.
Yeah, I remember they were thick, and I think that they were New York strips, maybe. Probably even, like, dry-aged or something like that.
Whatever they were.
Yeah, like, thick, expensive cuts of meat, and I put it on there, and they just got, like, so burnt and so, like, and the inside was purple. Like, it just wasn't, like, that's why I like cooking... Like
Thick. No, but you left them in, and like for not all that much time. We looked at if it said 10 minutes, we're like, let's check in 5.
I probably shouldn't have closed the lid.
Yeah, I guess that's what happened. You closed the lid. You brought them out, and they were just like black on the outside.
Yeah,
like with char on them.
Char.
And you brought them inside. I'm like, let's try to dissect these. And my favorite part was, and honestly, the inside was really good. I'm not kidding.
No, then we recooked it a little bit.
Yeah, but on a pan and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Like, as now, like, I've cooked it a bunch of times, and I always cook it in a cast iron because you get to put it on high and you sear it, and then, you know, and then from there, then you can lower the flame and let it cook a little
bit
longer.
It's probably one of those burnt things on appearance as I've ever seen. But like you said, the inside was almost not cooked at all.
Yeah.
But my favorite part was everyone coming up to you like, oh, they look great, Kyle.
Yeah, because, again, our hosts are very nice people. And they're just and I'm just like, don't pander.
Like, oh no, you can salvage that. And like, yeah, totally salvageable. Like, people would pass through. Don't you hate like the pandering like that? And then the whole time I'm just laughing. Like,
yeah, it was one of your probably top 5 days ever.
Glory moments. I love seeing like your embarrassment.
Struggle. Yeah.
Again, it was not your fault. Who buys these expensive things? Hey, someone else do it. You know. And I volunteered you. I did.
Yeah. And we were all, again, like, it was a 4th of July weekend, and we were all feeling very good. So, yeah, not one of my, yeah. And the pandering was the worst part.
And you were like, come on.
I'm like, no, look at it.
You weren't even like, yeah, thank you. You were just like, no!
Yeah, I was more insulted by that than even, like, how it turned out via my cooking.
Other recent, by the way, I know you guys can't see, but Kyle's hand is on his face right now.
I'm just, yeah, it's like, you know, when you're smushing your face, just rubbing around your eye and your forehead and your temple.
We have a barbecue actually coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll go the same day. Maybe we will, but the Cage Club co-founder, Joey Lewandowski,
yeah,
is having a shindig. Now, Joey, this will be after the party, so I don't know what happened, but...
No, this is before.
Is it before?
Yeah.
Okay, so, Joey, don't change your plans yet if you do listen to Kyle's show or not. We don't know. But Joey Lewandowski, obviously, of all the Cage Club shows, but of Too Fast, Too Forever. It's nice to see all the Cage Club people at this barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
But it trips me because he does a 2-day affair. And I don't never know what day
selfish.
To go to.
Selfish. You're on notice.
Last year I went to both because you were going to one and Manzi was going to the other.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I became the hit of that party, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, it's still talked about to this day.
Yeah, you're a party pleaser.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Like, that's certainly not my reputation with some people.
Well, with that group of people you were.
But at that party, it was crazy. Yeah. Like, you know, Joey, I think he was dating someone at the time, and we really... hit it off well. Shout out. I think that's where I met Fun Rachel. Oh, no. We met her at Hoffman. But
it's where you met Larson.
Larson, yeah. But I was to say, the famous Rachel, Joe Tu's wife.
Oh.
We got along pretty well there. Obviously, Manzi. But it was a good time. It was a good time. Met a lot of Joey's friends.
Yeah, it's in the style of the... Toretto family barbecue.
And that's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's very La Familia, like the Familia from that. And I don't know, do you have those scenes written down as foodie scenes? Because Fast and Furious, especially that original one.
Yeah.
That's a big foodie scene.
I'll have to end the one when they eventually get back to the house.
Yes. Also a big foodie scene. I would almost do those both at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Well, you know,
like no one touches.
I haven't had Joey on
Grace.
Since like episode 2, so I think maybe it's...
You haven't? Wow, you haven't paid your dues. You have bowed down to the king.
Yeah. This is true. Another little food thing. Let's just quick say it. We want to, because you haven't heard from them, right? The Blue Point. The
oh my god, you're on notice moment right now.
Blue Point. So both me, Kyle Reinfried, and Brian Rodriguez.
And
here.
More you're the food celebrity. Me, I'm just you know,
yeah, we're trying
a commoner.
Via Twitter, via Instagram, now on the podcast. So you're on Spotify and Google Play and iTunes, we are trying to reach out to you, and we want to find out where to get this Platanos beer.
Yeah, so in my neighborhood, I live in Inwood, which is Upper Manhattan. A lot of Dominicans in my neighborhood. I'm Dominican myself, but I'm also American, you know, born and raised here. I love this country, and I love craft beer. And I saw a billboard. Well, you saw it too, right? Or no? You were there with me that day.
Yeah.
That Blue Point, one of the great Long Island breweries, apparently collaborated with Presidente, which is the national Dominican beer, to make a Platano brewed beer.
Hashtag Platano power.
Yeah, hashtag Platano power. And Platano, if you're not familiar with, is a Latin American. It looks like a banana, but it's more of a vegetable.
Yeah, if you've seen the movie Chef, they make, you know.
Oh, true, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And if you're not familiar with, it's plantains in English, I should say.
Yes. You know?
And I love plantains, sweet or the regular kind. I love both. But we tried to track down this beer. We can't find it anywhere. I think it's at the brewery, but both you and I tagged on Instagram, like, hey.
But they had the poster was a bottle.
The bottle.
So if it's at the brewery.
I'm guessing that, like, they want local restaurants to buy it or something. But, guys, if we, like, say, hey, where can we get this? And you're a company.
Yeah.
We're not going to try and Kim Kardashian you guys here. We're not going to bury you. We just want to buy your product.
Yeah.
Like, just answer us, even if you have to DM us. We want to buy your thing.
Yeah.
So, Blue Point, you're on notice. I know that this is your show, but...
Well, that was... You're on notice came from P.S. I Love Hoffman, so... A joint venture, so...
Good memory on that. We've had a lot of foodie news.
Yeah, and... Yeah, that's a beer that sounds absolutely refreshing to have in the summertime.
Speaking of beer, and I know I'm getting all this food stuff off my chest on your show, I'm sorry, but... Mets have this great thing now that it's $40 a month, and you can go to any game.
Great.
You went with me one game.
Yeah.
By the way, I went to an awesome brewery festival at Citi Field. You were supposed to go as well, but you had to go to Austin, another great food city, so whatever.
Massachusetts. Work. Yeah.
But I've been trying all the food. Citi Field is known for its great food. And
they
the McKellar.
Freaking brewery there.
McKellar Brewery is there, one of the greatest breweries in the world. And you said you went to the original one in Denmark,
in Copenhagen,
right?
Or right outside. Maybe it was technically outside.
Was
of
it
Copenhagen.
Cool?
It was awesome. Yeah. I should have, back then, if I had the foresight, I would have taken a video and just made a little vlog that I could show you guys. I guess I'll just have to go back to Copenhagen.
It's definitely on my list of food pilgrimages to do to hit
great
up that
food
McKellar.
City, Copenhagen.
Oh,
great food city.
But you know, there's a McKellar in Citi Field, which is amazing. The beer there is so good. The food's good. I had that Emmy Square burger that's at the ballpark for a ballpark burger. So good.
It's got that La Frieda meat.
Yeah, and your boy, Pat LaFrieda, pretty much owns Citi Field because every single, like, stand has his name on it.
That's my... I mean, Joey, you're the godfather of the network. Pat LaFrieda is my godfather of the foodverse.
It's true. So, you know, we'll have to go back and maybe you'll shoot something more there. I don't know if you... I think you took some pictures or
yeah, we took... Well, it took a little... I think I took a little video, actually, of us enjoying Pat's steak sandwich. So, I don't know if I ever post that. We'll definitely post that as well.
Absolutely.
And I mean, let's just, you know, I like talking, like I said, you know, we'll be talking some food and movies on these short order sessions. So you host a podcast, High School Slumber Party. I hope you guys have been checking out. You should know about it already. But any cool movies you've seen for that recently?
Actually, this weekend I just saw Booksmart.
Oh, that's the one. It's, I mean, obviously a high school movie since it's for the podcast, but it's, got the Jonah Hill's sister, right? It's like almost being called like the female Superbad.
I just realized she was Jonah Hill's sister this morning. I had actually seen her in other things because they don't have the same last name.
Yeah, she goes by
Beanie something. I'll read it now.
It's a Jewish last name.
Beanie Feldstein.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching it and I'm like, wow, I know they're trying to go for this like Lady Superbad thing, and I'm using quotation marks saying Lady Superbad thing. I'm like, she has so many mannerisms like Jonah Hill. Like did she copy him? So once I found that out, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess it's unknown. But it was really, really great.
Yeah. Directed by Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde. I really enjoyed it. It's a great film for the genre. If I had to have any criticism, and you could hear more of this when I do it on High School Slumber Party, but the only criticism is I don't know if it's a film for teenagers. I think it is,
almost.
But it definitely, like, it communicates more to, like, millennials, and I don't think teenagers are millennials right now.
Interesting. Like, but is it more, is it for millennials, or is it for, like, the hindsight of someone around, like, millennial age to have about that time? Like, Olivia Wilde isn't, like, I don't think incredible, like, that much older than
no,
us,
No,
right?
but
like,
we're technically, I don't think the high schoolers now are millennials.
No, they're not. No. Yeah, millennials ended in, like, 95 or something.
Something like that, right? It feels very much like, yes, but doesn't take place back in time. It's, like, almost imposing, I don't want to say imposing, that sounds, like, wrong, almost, like, but it puts the values of today with kids, and maybe they're experiencing that, maybe they're not, but a lot of the dialogue felt a little bit more adulty. I'm not complaining because I am an adult and I liked it.
Yes.
But it didn't remind me of something that was like a kid's movie. And this is not a criticism.
I mean, I didn't watch Superbad and then went like, oh, that's just like my high school experience.
No, but I mean, I think Superbad is similar in that way.
Yeah.
There are certain movies I'm realizing from doing my podcast, High School Slumber Party, that are more geared to high schoolers. There's some high school movies that are more geared to middle schoolers who
probably the ones that are coming out on Netflix are more geared to right?
And there are some that are more geared to adults. I think the people who are going to enjoy Booksmart the most are people our age.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. And I don't know if high schoolers will enjoy it or not. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But it didn't feel like that. But it does a great thing of like it's very much the movie of 2019. Like it feels very 2019. In 10 years,
yeah.
It's going to be like, oh, that's so 2019.
Well, I feel like almost, and it's another high school movie, like Lady Bird, in the sense of the buzz it's getting,
When we were talking about this off air, I mentioned Juno.
Yeah.
There seems to be a continued evolution in like women's driven high school films.
Okay.
And I think, and I said, you're like, Juno is dated? Because I'm like, Juno is a little dated now. And it is. But not in a way where it's like it seems like, ooh, this is weird.
Not in an appropriate dated way.
Yeah. It's just like, huh. Like, Juno was so groundbreaking. Name me another, like, female-driven high school film before that. Like, not like a 16 Candles kind of thing. More like a... I can't describe it, because 16 Candles is still, like, written by a man. Like, you know, like... Juno was very groundbreaking for its time.
Sure. Oh, and, of course, yeah.
And then you had Lady Bird. Edge of 17 Titan, didn't get the play that it should have, but it is a really great movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
And this is, like, along the lines. And this is, like, the next evolution, because it was really funny, but it got serious at certain times.
Yeah.
Really, like, LGBT positive. Oh. Really, you know, like... Like I said, I can't describe it except that it's very...
Well, you're going to get into it on the episode highlight.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing...
There were food scenes, and I'm going to mention a lot of food scenes, actually.
Uh-huh.
For instance, not a spoiler alert, but the movie essentially ends with the line, I believe it's, let's go get pancakes.
Nice.
So that's cool.
That's great.
Two other food scenes I remembered. I didn't even think I was going to come on this podcast to talk about this, but I'm like, I should tell Kai about these food scenes. They... stumble on, and this is something I know you'll like about this movie.
Yeah.
It's very much like Superbad. It's a lot like Superbad. But it's like Superbad where it's not a road trip, but it's like a journey.
A journey.
That they keep winding up in places that they're not supposed to be to try to get to this one thing.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
And one of the places they end up is a classmate's murder mystery dinner. Which, hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, hilarious. That's obviously a food scene.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a murder mystery dinner?
I have not.
I feel like it's something we need to do. It's something you need to do for this podcast. What am I saying?
That's true.
That's like, that would be an awesome experience to share. I'm not booking for you, I'm just saying. And
food for thought, another segment.
Yes. Another big food scene is, so there's a lot of like cameos.
Yeah.
And one of our guys, now, Jason Sudeikis is in the film as the principal, and that's
and
a cameo.
Definitely has a child, if not married to Olivia Wilde.
Oh, okay. Really? Yeah. That makes sense now. But Will, what's his name? Will Forte.
Yeah.
Plays one of the girl's dad.
McGruber.
And the mom is played by Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, I saw that in the trailer, yeah.
And they want to go to a party, but the parents prepared for them graduation-themed food that are like puns. You know? And I forgot the puns. I didn't write them down.
That's just a great set of parents.
Yeah, but it's like the meatballs have like a name. Like, you graduated gravy. Like, things like that. Like... And it's, like, very cutely done, so,
yeah.
And, you know, they don't end up eating it, but there's a whole spread of, like, all this food that they
That's
made.
That's funny.
So. A couple good food scenes in there.
I just keep seeing amazing, like, people are tweeting about it nonstop. Supposedly Billy Lord is a phenomenon in it. Like
Billy Lord is amazing.
Yeah.
Is amazing. Again,
the late Carrie Fisher's daughter.
I can't, this movie, I love. I could see why some people wouldn't. It's not going to win over everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just to be frank, it's very liberal.
Progressive.
You know, progressive is a better word for it. And I'm not criticizing that. I agree with everything that the movie says and stands for. But if you don't believe, like, you know, in feminism or something,
well,
you're
not
going to like
this film.
I have
no problem in saying in the current state of the country that we're living in, where, you know, Alabama is getting rid of abortion rights, maybe we need some of that in our world.
Oh, no,
that's
fair.
That is perfectly
fair.
Fine.
I agree. But the person who's getting rid of abortion rights is probably not going to like this film.
They should then, like, full-on Clockwork Orange style, the eyes open, and just, like, and watch this movie on repeat or something.
But, no, but I highly, highly recommend it. It's a great film. And you can hear me talk about it more on High School Slumber Party in probably 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Depending on when this airs.
I like it. I let the guests say it, so I'll say it on these ones. Guys... Well, first, Brian, thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. So no other questions for me? Wow, no.
No, this is just a nice little... Nice
I feel
little,
I gave you a lot of meat.
Nice little chat. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no pun intended. So, I have the guests say it on the episode, so I'll just always end it by saying, remember, guys, there's more to cut.
Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you such a sweet...